Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mulla Cami Rahmetullahi says, Bandai Ishq Budi Tarke Nisab Kun Ke Darija Fala Ibn Fala Nest. You have become the slave of love. So leave all these claims that you used to make, all the claims that you make, this is my lineage and this is the family that I come from, this is my father and these are the great people that came in my lineage. Leave all this. Because in the path that reaches you, takes you to Allah Ta'ala, there's no such a thing like so-and-so, son of so-and-so. It doesn't count. فَلَا أَنْصَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذِيُمْ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُمْ. On that day, the lineage will not count. And no person will be able to ask the other for any type of favor. And it doesn't count. Though the lineage itself is an encouragement, right? It's an encouragement, but it is not a pillar of support. Can't use it now. But I've got the lineage now. I've already been guaranteed some status. Like, the man studied hard and became a doctor, right? He burnt the midnight oil, worked hard, and now he's doing quite well for himself. So that doesn't mean automatically his children are all doctors. His profession is with him. If he goes into the town and opens up a surgery and the law catches up with him, they'll find him. You're not a doctor. My father is a doctor. My grandfather is a doctor. You can't use that. You can't use it, so you can't use it here. But yes, it's a pillar of support. Father was a doctor, etc. So you must know something about medicine. You'll know how to diet correctly, etc. That will happen. But on the basis of him being a doctor, you don't become an automatically, you don't become a doctor. فَلَا أَنْصَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذِيُمْ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. The Jews were very proud about the lineage. They used to say, كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا. The only way you can come to Jannah, you be a Jew. Otherwise, everything is blocked off. So Allah Ta'ala answers them, بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. You got it wrong. You are basing it on lineage because you are an Israelite and therefore you say you must adopt Judaism because you are Israelite. But this thing doesn't feature anyway. The right way is Bal Millata Ibrahim Hanifa, the Millat of Ibrahim Al Islam. Now, what is the meaning of Millat? There's three words that are used, sometimes Millat, sometimes Deen, and sometimes Mazhab, right? It's three different words. Deen is identical whether it is now, whether it was 5,000 years ago, whether it was in the time of Adam al Islam, it will be the same. So there will be no change in deen at all whatsoever. No change is absolutely the same. So deen are those elements of faith that are identical. So So in every deen, you believe in Tawheed, right? Don't you have Tawheed? Whether it's now, whether it was in Musa alayhi salam's time. So everyone said the same thing. See the message of a Nabi. مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ Everybody. Nuh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ Everybody said the same thing. So, it's identical in every religion. So, deen, there is no changes. So, the first thing they'll speak about is Tawheed. The second thing that they'll speak about is Risalat. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ So it's identical in every religion. No difference. And the third thing that they speak about is Ma'ad. Whether it is Rasulullah Pak Sosan, whether it is Nuh alayhi salam, whether it is Adam alayhi salam, everybody will be speaking about the same thing. أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ Don't you fear? وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ Don't you fear the hereafter? So this doesn't change anywhere. Now this is called millat. Now this is called deen, right? Then you get a second thing that is called millat. What is the meaning of millat? Millat is the qaida kulliya, right? Qaida kulliya, a general law, right? An obsolete law. Absolute law. Now, under that law will be a lot of juz'iyat. See? Those details will be coming from this kulli. See, the details that come, the details, they are, where are they emanating from, where are they coming from? They are coming from this absolute law, from this principle. This is the principle, and from this, beneath this principle, all these laws are coming in. So that's called millat, right? So, every millat doesn't have to be the same. Right. Those detailed laws will be coming from this principle, right? But the principle in every mazhab, every religion, will not be the same. Right. Like, for example, in nearly every religion, right, an animal was permissible. A herbivorous animal was permissible, right? In nearly every mazhab. Then, you saw in Judaism, camel became haram. The fat of the animal is haram, right? So, now, our millat is different, and then their millat is different. You see the difference. Overall, a herbivorous animal, domesticated herbivorous animal, is permissible. But we say it's permissible, and they say it's not permissible, but both are divine religions, heavenly religions, whether it was Judaism, whether it was Islam, both are heavenly religions. Both are the same. But there can be differences in the millat. Millat, this millat says something, and then millat says something else. So this is just one example. There could be other examples as well. Right. Then you get the third thing. And the third thing is called mazhab. So, the mazhab, what happens in the mazhab is that everybody that comes within the framework of the mazhab, they will follow the same principle, right? They will follow the same principle. Or let us say, they will deduce masail from the same principle. Right? You see, they will deduce, but they will deduce from the same principle. So the principle is the same, but the juz'iyat can differ. They're getting it from the same principle. So like, for example, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, and then you got his students, right? Hassan ibn Ziyad, Imam Zufar, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, all are his students, right? So if they are deducing any masla, they will get it from Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi's qaida, principles, right? His usul. Whatever usul he's laid out, they'll get it from him. But in extracting, they may differ. Like, for example, now, in the usul of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, there is a thing like qiyas, right? Then you get qiyas jali, you get qiyas khafi. Qiyas jali, call it istihsan, call it qiyas. Qiyas khafi, call it istihsan, or call it qiyas khafi, right? You get umum balwa. So you get umum balwa, you get qiyas khafi, qiyas jali, and istihsan. So all these things come under the usul of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. So it's coming under the usul. Maybe one person, or Imam Sabr rahmatullahi, applied qiyas. And he applied qiyas jali. Then some student came and he applied qiyas khafi. Right? So both arrived at different conclusions, though they're coming from the same. The source is the same, but the conclusion they come to is different. Like you say in qiyas, lahmin nabata min al haram, right? So it's nourished by haram, it's supposed to be haram, right? Right? Like a lion is nourished with haram. So when it's nourished with haram, so it's haram, then the leftover, the sur of it also should be haram. So that's the qiyas. Why? نبت من الحرام فهو حرام سؤره حرام لماذا؟ لأنه نبت من الحرام. It is nourished by haram, so it must be haram. I want to stick in the fiqh class now. Right. But now, they say birds, right? That have big beaks, right? And they can be nabata min al-haram. They're living out of haram. Like you see an eagle, right? Or see a falcon, right? What it lives out of? It lives out of on haram, right? But then they say, if that thing drinks from with its beak, obviously, then that water will not be napak. Whereas a dog drank, you said it's napak. Lion drank, he said, it's napak. Leopard drank, he said, why? Because nabata min al-haram. But now, you're not extending the same principle on a eagle or a falcon. Why? What's the difference? So now here they made qiyas khafi, istihsan, right? So istihsan is also coming from the qaida that Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi has laid out. So they made that qiyas khafi, very, very refined, very, very refined, or quite a very subtle khafi. So when these imams, when they studied the bird, right, they found that it drinks from its beak, right? And the beak itself is dry. There is no saliva on it. As compared to other animals, lion, leopard, all that, they drink also with the mouth. There is saliva. And this thing here, there is no saliva. The saliva was the thing that was making it napak. Now, if you look at a bone that is dried out, right, totally dry, what do you say? It's not napak, right? So the same here now, it's a bone and it's totally dry. When it's totally dry and it's drinking with that, then you say it's not napak. Now, there are a lot of maslas that will come up. But they're coming from the same usul. See, the principle is the same. But as they are extracting masail, there can be differences. Like, for example, say you made wuzu, right? And thereafter you discovered that the water was napak. Or you got up in the morning, or say at Isha time, you found a streak of money or something on your clothing, right? But you did all your namaz, Fajr, Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, all the namaz you did. Right? Now you found a streak of napaki on your clothing. Now, when will you say that you became napaki? When will you say? One is, if there was some circumstantial evidence to say that this was the time, then you'll attribute it to the circumstance. See, for example, you got up in the morning, then you went to sleep again, perhaps, see, at around Maghrib time, right? After Maghrib, you went to sleep. And after Maghrib, you found this. Or at Isha time, you found this. After Maghrib, you went to sleep, and at Isha, you found this. So it's possible that you saw this streak after Maghrib. It's possible that you saw it at Fajr. It's possible that it happened at Fajr. It's possible that it happened after Maghrib. Can you see exactly when it happened? Because you want to sleep before Fajr, you want to sleep after Maghrib. When you want to sleep at both these times, so it's possible that this happened either after Maghrib or before Fajr. Right. So now again they used qiyas khafi. So no. You will attribute it to the last cause, to the last cause. This was also a cause. That was also a cause. Now where they based it, how they base it on? They base it on this. That it was Abu Yusuf Rahman, there was someone, whoever it was. And he was asked about an animal bloating and bursting, right? In a well. So that thing bloated and it burst. So then he says, no, then the namaz for 3 or 4 days must all be repeated. Why? Because it takes so long for that animal to bloat and burst. So 3-4 days namaz, you must make qaza. Right. See, he's qiyas. Then he retracted from this. How he retracted? So he was passing by and he saw a vulture. You know, a vulture eats all this dead dirt, filth, you know. Animals are all decayed now. They eat from that. So that thing had some, for example, a rat or something, right? And that thing was bloated. It was flying with it. It had it on its beak. It was flying. En route, that thing fell into the well. Now, can you imagine the picture now? That he's taking a rat that is bloated and burst already in its beak, right? And it's flying across a well. And while it's flying, the thing fell directly into that well. So now, it's possible that when that the rat must have dropped inside, and it bloated, it burst, it took 4 or 5 days for that to happen, right? But you will attribute it to the ahdasa sabab, the most recent cause. The most recent cause is now. Because of this one, yeah, it's possibility again that this thing must have happened after Maghrib. It's possible it happened before Fajr. So what is the ahadas sabab? This is the ahadas sabab, the most recent cause. Right. So now that's mazhab. So one is deen, then you get millat, then you get mazhab. So in mazhab what will happen? All are of the same mazhab, right? When they are of the same mazhab, they are extracting from the same usul. But perhaps you extracted from one usul and I extracted from the other usul. Like I showed you, one is showing this, one is showing something else. He is using qiyas as zahir, he is showing qiyas khafi or istihsan is using. The principle is the same. Same principles. Now, after all this ikhtilaf that I explained, right? Now you're coming, amadam barsare matlab. Amadam barsare matlab. Coming to the point now. You say, amadam barsare matlab, what do you mean? Coming to the point. See, Ibrahim alayhi salam had made dua, waj'alna muslimin, right? Now, there's another question that comes up here, but other Anbiya alayhi salam were also Muslims, when they're Muslims. Right? Like you say, Yusuf al-Islam said, Tawaffana Muslimin, right? Tawaffani Muslima wa al-hikni bis salihin. Same again, Isa al-Islam also said this, something similar about Islam, right? So, when we say we are Muslims, right, then why do we say that we are Muslims and why don't we say that they were also Muslims? Why don't we say that? You'd say, no, they were either Nasara or Yahud, right, whatever else, right? But then for this people that came after Rasulullah, we said they are all Muslims. Why is it unique with them? So there's no doubt that Islam was the sifat, Islam was the sifat of the umame sabiqa, all the religions of the past, that was the sifat. What was the sifat? Sifat of Islam, right? What is Islam? What is Islam? To submit. So there was submission in them, right? So there's no doubt about it, right? But in the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sifat was not just a sifat, it became the name. For them it was a sifat. And for you it became the name. How you understand this? You understand this now like this, right? See, all of us are friends, right? All of you are my friends, for example. Right? So you can say that this is your sifat. Who you are, the friend. Who my friend? Sadiqi. Right? You're the Asdiqai, right? So that's your sifat. What's your sifat? You are my friends. Right? But if I say one of them, see, I tell one of you all, Sadiq. I call you by the name Sadiq. Is it the same? Yeah? Is it the same? Now, I've given you the name of Sadiq. I've given you the title of him. So they had the sifat, and you got the name. Because your level of submission is at another level. See, their level of submission was different, and your level of submission is different. Because your level of submission is different, so your name is Sadiq, your name is Muslim. Who was Sammakumul Muslimin? Your name, your call is Muslim. That was their sifat, and this is your name. See the difference. Right? So, all right, now the question comes, right? It's a classroom style today. Right? The question comes now, all right, when the Anbiya alayhi salam also Muslims? So why did Ibrahim alayhi salam make dua, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. Can you see that? رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ. For that, let me give you one small story. Some of you may have heard of it, and most of you may have not heard of it. Right? Hazrat Fariduddin Ganja Shikar had many khalifas, right? The very high-ranking khalifas, one was Nizamuddin Awliya, and the other was Alauddin Sabiri Rahmatullahi. He is buried in Kalyar and he's in New Delhi, right? So he's Alauddin Sabiri Rahmatullahi and he's Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, right? Alauddin Sabiri is in Kalyar. Kalyar is near Punjab. We went there a couple of times, the boys, show them all these places, right? So both of them, Nizamuddin's tabiat was different and Alauddin's tabiat was different. Right? Nizamuddin, you'll find all the works there, food, everything is laid out. And there it was all like starvation, bhook, roza, right? They're living in constraints, real constraints. But it's the living in constraints out of choice, not forced into constraints, but it is out of the choice that they are living in constraints. By Hazrat Nizamuddin Rahmatullah, it was such that people would come, right, and according to their taste, he will get the cook to prepare something. So now there was a minister. How you get, you know, this minister's MP, one minister came in. As he came in, and the cook came and announced that the food is almost ready, must I lay it out? So Nizamuddin Sahib Rahman says, just hold on a few minutes. Again he comes, says, must we lay it out? Says, no, just hold on, like another 10 minutes. And after that, about 20 minutes or so, someone brought hot, fresh fish kebabs, right? So now lay it out. And then he says to the majlis, he says, there's no problem, kisi cheez ki khaish karne ka to muzaika to hai nahi. There's no problem in you desiring for something. But hame pehle khabar kar dena chahiye. That minister was desirous of that, and he picked it up, he perceived it, right? When he perceived it, so he must have made dua or something, that this is my mehman, and this is what he is craving for. So therefore he instructed the kitchen, just hold on, mess, just hold on. And in that 20 minutes, the dua was made, and the thing was brought. So, the thing of your choice, and you're getting it there. Craving for this, and you got it. Craving for that, and you got it, right? So it was really laid out. But he led a life of austerity. Nearly every day or so of his life was in fast, in roza. We also want to become buzurugs, but the buzurugs are the second time. I think for the South African, food is the biggest kurbani here. Food is the biggest kurbani. But I think it's more to do with the mind. Right? If you just shift your mind, then any food will work. How you shift your mind? How you correct your mind? If you correct your mind like this, it comes with time, right? It comes with time. You take your body, consider it a vehicle. A vehicle for doing work, etc., being active. So for the vehicle to be active, it needs energy, right? Right. So all I need is something to energize me, whether it is roast, or whether it is dal, whether it is masoor. I need something just to energize me. I got the energy now. Let me move now. Right. So if you take the food as energy, then you got no problem. But you know, I need this energy. Looking for a total garage, right? And there's only Caltex, the whole area covered. Won't you be in problems? Yeah. Now you need to move the car. You can't move the car because the whole area has been covered by total. Can you move now? I'll move. But you see, what I need is just a filling station. Whether it is this, whether it is that, whether it is the fourth one, third one, I'm not concerned about it. I need a filling station. I need to fill this thing up. Right. So if you just adjust your mind, then it's easy. Not difficult. Now and then, all right, sometimes you'll crave and something will happen. But as a rule, you discipline your mind. You correct your mind. When you correct your mind, then I say you can go anywhere in the world and you'll be fine, you'll be comfortable. You're going 4 months, 6 months, 1 year, 10 years. But you just need to correct your mind. And you'll find yourself to be very comfortable. But if you don't, and you're going out now, hey, this is not right, the kachumar is like this, and that is... bread is like that. You'll be complaining of everything. You'll be complaining. So you can't then function. And for men, it is very important that your mind must be your mind must be fully disciplined. Because a man has to be outgoing. He has to adventure, explore. He has to go out. A lot of things. He has to go and do a lot of things. Travel. And if you are looking for the food of your choice, and you don't get it, then you can't function. I didn't get this now. I didn't get Ramadan, Eid day, and they're giving me baked beans, tablighi chaos they're giving me. You'll cry, isn't it? Why? Because you didn't adjust your mind. You didn't adjust your mind, you're going to be crying. But you say, hey, I got the energy now. I got enough now. Let me move, carry on. So you're happy, whether it was beans, whether it was roast, whether it was kebabs, whatever it was, you ate and you moved on. But if you got it in your mind, I must get this type of energy, then you are wrong. Then you're going to create problem for yourself. So it's a matter of adjusting your mind, and that brings a lot of ease. Just on the topic of food, so there's a good hakim that we met there. So I'm just sharing one two points that we learned from him. See, so he's about 74, 75 years of age, but very fit. He fit, strong, stronger than people that are about 50, 60 years of age. He's so strong. So I just asked him in passing, what do you do? What do you eat? So now I work a little bit hard. And two things I do is I don't gobble and go. But what we do is we chew our food half and then swallow it. See, I think from childhood, we are trained up in a different way. How we are trained up in childhood, so your father or your elder brother, he was giving out chocolates, right? And you ask for the second piece, so finish this one here, I'll give you the second piece. Right? So you ate half and you swallowed the rest of it. Why? Because you're going to get entitled to the next until you didn't finish this one. So you have to prove it to him that you have finished this one for you to deserve the second one. So you're brought up like that. When you're brought up like that, now you see, hey, Sunya, let's finish this thing up. Man. So it's taking too long. So you chewed half and you swallowed the half. So he says now, his actual words were, that your teeth's work is being done by your intestines. So you're creating a stomach problem. Whose work was it to chew? Was it the intestines' work? Or was it the teeth's work? So now you're creating a problem here. They overworked. They overworked. They're not supposed to be doing that, but you put them into this. Right. So if you chew it so much you have to chew it, that thing... like, you know, they say talasha, it becomes like lache. You know, they say like talasha, that thing becomes like lache. It's covered with saliva, and that thing is just going automatically down. It's chewing very well. You can't chew it anymore, any longer. It's covered with saliva, and it's becoming like lache, then you are taking it down. So that's the one thing to do. So then that means now, it's going to take time for you to eat. The braai, you can't wait for the thing to... You can't say, no, I want it hot. Because hot, I must eat quickly. Right? Whatever is coming, just eat. Eat the two pieces, but eat. Chew it very, very well. Take your time, chew it very well. So that's the first thing, right? And the second thing he says, I don't eat much. And I found that's really effective. See, today's Talim also. Ridwan read the same thing. That four doctors and all, they were discussing, right? That Roman and that Iraqi and Swat and all that, right? But they all agreed that the best health tip is to eat less. Because if you want to eat a little bit more, then that extra food, that deposits are going to collect somewhere, in some vein, in some artery, something's going to get blocked, right? Why is it going to get blocked? Because you're eating a little bit more. And it's going to get, something's going to get blocked. And if that thing's going to get blocked, then that's going to create illnesses. You have to go to see a doctor, a physician, specialist, etc. Why? Because you ate more. So you're going to eat, but you're going to eat to live. Not live to eat. No. So we have made now, live to eat. So, get this thing right now. We're coming back to the topic. Say, وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكْ Right? That's where we branched off from. Ji? Alauddin, yeah. Hazrat Fariduddin Ganj Shakar, and he's got two khalifas, right? Here, food is laid out very, very well. And Nizamuddin, Hazrat Alauddin is constrained. If you look at Nizamuddin's life personally, then he's not living, he's not lavish life, fasting. But his guests, they're all very well taken care of. Right. In himself, there's humility. In himself, there is austerity, abstention, everything. But his guests, they're all taken care of very well, very, very well. Now, there's a Nizam of Allah, For someone, Allah chooses one type of a life. For the next person, Allah chooses the next type of a life. Right? Like you travel through India, and now you'll go to Gujarat and all that, and there's a lot of varieties of food, dishes upon dishes. Then you come towards UP and Deoband, there's a little bit hard life. Right? The food is a little bit hard, and the living is hard. Conditions are hard. That side is now a little bit very soft, and all. So that's why you have so many hospitals there, right? This side, there's hardly any hospitals. Deoband, hardly one eye hospital they have on the corner, or some clinic they have. But they won't have so advanced hospitals. Yeah, they've got so much of advanced hospitals. See, amongst the Arabs, just sharing this with you all, for you all to understand, right? When I went first, 1979, right? So how many years ago? Over 40 years, right? About 40 years, eh? When I went for Hajj first. Right? So the Arabs are very strong, right? Local Arabs and the Yemeni Arabs that came for labor, work and all that, very strong. I used to see them. You know, the people that traveled at this time, went to that Ghaba and Zulqirad and all that. That mountainous terrain, they used to be walking on the mountainous terrain, mountainous, rocky terrain, with the beast tongs, carrying a fridge over the back. I saw that, and the picture is still in my mind. It's got a fridge, got it with a rope and fastened it, got a champal. It was a sight to see, really. How this man is managing this thing here? How is managing it? But they were hardy, strong. The food was very simple. But they're eating some a coarse bread and khajur, some satar, all these things, combination, this is what they're eating. So they're very strong, very hardy. They were doing that hard work, going up, coming down. Right. Now, there isn't an Arab country that doesn't have a heart hospital, cancer, and sugar. They outrated everybody. You know, sugar, heart, cancer, and every third, fourth person has got a sugar problem, got a heart problem, got cancer problem, right? Why the whole food pattern has changed. The whole life has changed. Now, you know, like someone said it, you know, very well, said even to go to the toilet, you've got a car to go. You know, there's no manual work left now. When there's no manual work left, if everything using a motor car, go here from here to there using a motor car. So you're not doing anything manually. When you're not doing anything manually, it's not getting burnt. And what you're eating is all rich food. McDonald's and Kentucky and all this type of rich food you're eating all the time. Right? There's no work being done. As a result, you're eating rich, you're not burning it, and then you're eating that thing is not getting digested. So you're getting stored up in your body. You're getting stored up in your body. Now what's that? Sicknesses. Some way it must show. So you have to take some supplements, you have to take this tablets, this medication, go to that doctor, go for this treatment. Right? So this is starting off from here, you see. So in order to maintain the food, all these things you have to maintain, you see. You hear of Umar, you know, so strong and all that. But you look at his personal life was, he used to have about 7 or 8 luknas of food. But such a hardy, such a strong, powerful person, right? Well built, strong, hardy. But if you look at his personal self, 7, 8 luknas, that was his food. So it is not because of the abundance and the variety that you become strong. That's how we think, you know, abundance and variety, we have this and have that and 10 different type of varieties. You know, eat little, but chew it very, very well. Right. And eat when you only eat when you're hungry, and then eat just to keep yourself alive, nothing more than that, not beyond that. And then work your body. Work. Now you'll find that your body is very healthy. And when you're eating less, you don't have so much of variety and all that. So you don't have to work so hard to earn so much of money. Right? Now, when you got so much of varieties, you have to work so much harder to get that type of wealth. But your lifestyle is very simple, so you don't need so much of varieties. Simple, one, two foods, and it's enough for you. Right? So when you don't have to do so much of work, then you won't be so much stressed. Now, you're taking on so much of stress, you know, I need to get this appointment, I need to go here, and do this business there, go to China. So much of stress and so much worries. So the two things that is killing you is the type of lifestyle, the food that you're eating, then the stress that you're taking on, then you're becoming a cabbage. So the simple thing is go on to a very simple lifestyle. Simple, you'll enjoy life, contented, comfortable, enjoyable life, and sickness-free, you are free of sicknesses. Right. So on his personal self, Nizamuddin Rahmatullahi, was a very, very composed person, calm person, but Allah Ta'ala chose this for him. One person now, Islam is going to test Nizamuddin Rahmatullahi. Bari badshahi karte hai. See, he's the Nizam, but he's like a king, you know. Everything is laid out. We'll check him out. So what he did, to go and try him out, what he did, still coming about Islam, right? That's in my mind, but it will take you to a long cut for you to reach there. We had one Hajjat boy in Nizamuddin, in Mias Farm, you know. So, Ustad told him, that I'm mari mari na Musliman bana wanu che. He was a little bit of a talkative boy. So he could talk back to the Mulana. We couldn't talk. So he said, Mulana, I'm a Musliman here. I'm a Muslim. So I'm a pakko Musliman bana wanu che. So, this person came in to test Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi. See, he's getting all these gifts and all that. And he must be living a lavish life, you know. Let me go and try him out. We'll see. So, his whole system was, whatever gift he would get, by the evening he would go and distribute. All right, so when I give it to this person here, that gift, there's a need, this whatever gifts, kings, monarchs, all these type of people are coming to him. So you can imagine now what type of gifts are coming in. So what he did, so he's getting all his gifts, let me try him out. Aapko buzurg batate, shows himself to be a buzurg, let me try him out. So he made a night parcel. Inside the parcel he stuffed in sand. So anyway, now it came to the distribution. So as the khadim is got all that gifts before him, or this for that person, this for this person. As he came to this one here, he's still now a nice gift wrapper. You know. Now, ye meri aankh ki surma ke liye main istemal karunga. I will use it for the surma of my eyes. Wo to sharmindagi se pani pani ho gaya. He fell in a broke in a sweat. Hey, what I tried to do, embarrass him, and really I am embarrassed. That he's going to use my sand as a surma, no, use sand for surma. He's treating my gift, although I tried to trap him, but he's given me, he honored me so much. And then he made tawbah. So his style was different. His style and his whole system to correct the person was different. So now one person comes to us, Fariduddin Ganja Shikhar, Rahmatullah Ali. And he says, you know, I hear you've got so much of murids and khulafa. I want to see your khulafa. So I go to Delhi, you'll see Nizamuddin Awliya. And you go to Kalyat, you'll see Alauddin Sabiri Rahmatullahi. So he comes to Delhi, Now the Nizamuddin hears ke mere sheikh ke khadim aa raha hai. My sheikh's personal attendant, he's coming. So he laid out ikram, whatever gifts he could give. 3-4 days, top treatment. Anyway, he finished Nizamuddin and now he goes to Kalyar. He goes to Kalyar and he sees Sabiri, Alamuddin Sabiri Ramtai is in meditation. So the khadim had to come and say, Hazrat, Sheikh ke khadim aya hua hai. Your Sheikh's khadim has come. So he just raised his head from the muraqaba and he says, Mere Sheikh acche hai. And then he says, O gular mein zara namak dal dena. Gular is type of a wild fig, right? So when you want to feed today, it's a wild fig, right? With difficulty you'll eat that, just for wild fig, right? That just add a little bit of salt in it, that's all. And again, he's gone back into that meditation. He said, hey, this thing is total dry, you know. Ramadan time you're traveling, and here you must eat gular. Not making sense, this thing, man. And here, what a royal treatment you got. What a royal treatment you got here. And here, gular. How are you going to take it, Ramzan time? Not even khajur. Anyway, he came and gave the report to the Sheikh, Fariduddin Rahmatullahi. I went to Nizamuddin. What a Sheikh, what a Khalifa you got there. You know? He's a Khalifa. So, it's total dry then. Absolutely dry. So he said, did he say anything? He said, yes, mere Sheikh, salam keh dena. Right? This is what he said. And he fell back into the muraqaba. So that Fariduddin Rahmatullahi, he cried. And he says, mere Alauddin is maqam ke upar pahunche hai. Alauddin, my Khalifa, has reached such a point that Allah ke alawa kisi ki gunjaish hi nahi unke qalb mein. He's reached such a point that there is no possibility of anything passing his heart but Allah Ta'ala. He's so consumed with Allah Ta'ala that nothing can pass his heart now. It's just Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala alone. That love is brimming. That love is to capacity. So there's nothing that can go into his heart. But in all this, his respect and regards for me is such, he still has some consideration that there is a sheikh. A sheikh acheh, salam keh dena. So now we take you back to the meaning of this time is right. It's about 12 o'clock. Tomorrow, my sister complaining.